Today's devotion is titled The Family of God, Part 1. As each day passes, it is becoming very clear that the traditional family we once knew is being eroded. The COVID pandemic, which affected the whole world, has had a tremendous effect on the unity and welfare of the family. Satan is all out to divide and destroy, but God's love is reaching down through the passion of God's people to rescue those young folk who Jesus died for. There is a growing and increasingly high rate of dysfunctional families within the modern world, with children most affected, resulting in more children being either adopted or living with grandparents or other in-laws. The results in an increasingly high rate of mental disorder, with suicides on the increase. What these young folk need and are looking for is a warm, loving, stable home, with encouragement and purpose in life, with dreams as a target to look forward to. To erode the truth, Satan is trying to destabilize young minds, using confusion to erode their minds. They're caught up in a cycle of lifestyle which they cannot get out of, and they need help to lift them out. When we meet these children engaged in conversation, we discovered that as they grew up, they did not know and have never experienced what it is to be brought up in a loving, close, secure family. A family comprising of having only one known mother and one father. Of greater importance is for children to have been brought up in a Christian family with God in the centre. Through the witness of a Christian friend, some of those growing children are seeking to discover and experience the true meaning of living in a warm, secure family. Whenever of these children are in danger or difficulty, those parents will move mountains to rescue their child and reassure them of their wholehearted care and love for them. If God has called you to this very special work, it calls for dedication, long-suffering patience, drowned in prayer. These Christians who God has given that gift in are Christians who draw alongside those seeking help and sensitivity, patience and godly affection. In time, they will lead these young ones into developing a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. To see a young person who in the past has been so damaged, who have met the Saviour, who know the deep love of Father God, and then to see them grow up becoming strong people of God and serving Him fervently, are a great blessing and joy to experience. It is a joy to behold, for them to know they're part of a great big family of God, the Church of Jesus Christ. Today, the family of God is coming under great strain because Satan would seek to weaken the bond that is so vital, the unity and freedom which holds it together. There are so many issues which come up regarding our church families today that could so easily be better understood and resolved by simply using the principles of a healthy family unit. Let us go right back to Genesis 1:27, which says, "See, God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God He created them. Male and female He created them." Yes, a marriage of one man and one woman. This is God's law. It is to give us protection. Anything different will lead to disaster. We need to highlight two clear statements made by Jesus regarding the welfare of society and behaviour of mankind. We see a clear distinction between what God expects of mankind, but in contrast, we see what Satan is trying to do to destroy what God is seeking to build. The Apostle warns us in 1 Peter 5:8-9, Be alert and have sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for whom to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We read what Jesus prayed in to his Father for his spiritual children in the church in John 17:15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. When Jesus made this important yet vital prayer to his Father on our behalf, it was to ensure Satan did not corrupt what Jesus was about to do and ensure the well-being of his future church to minimize the influence of Satan. But above that, he gave us a key to not wavering, able to hold to the principles that would prevent us from being hounded by Satan. Jesus says in John 17:20-26, My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Unity is the all-important key to keeping the family together, yet there has to be that vital, special catalyst which unites and binds the family of God's church together. What does Jesus pray in verse 23 and 26? Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you had for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Love is the catalyst that undergirds and binds a family together, and it is God's love in God's family, the church, which will bind it together. It has been said, the family, the couple who pray together, stay together. It may seem a strange thing to say. For Chris and myself, there are three people in our marriage, God, Chris and myself. His love and our love for one another binds us together. The church should not just be a coming together to sing and pray. It has to have God's presence. It also needs God's love at the center, led by the Holy Spirit. During the height of the COVID pandemic, many churches used Zoom to keep in touch. Yet there was still something missing. There needed to be a coming together to feel and be in the community. Relationships need to be deep and not shallow. We need to be anchored in one another, because when the storms, the trials of life come, the family is so important to support and help anyone through the difficulty. The songwriter has penned this prayer. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together in love. You are the family of God. You are the promised divine. You are God's chosen desire. You are the glorious new wine. When Chris and I first visited Romania at the start of our missionary journeys, we saw that their family ways of living were 50 years behind the Western world. But their ways of living, which have endured for centuries, showed us that we need to reflect and return to those values and way of life, because it is the bedrock to a healthy way of living that we should endeavour to perpetuate. We often saw three generations living under the same roof. Whenever any of the family were struggling, the other members would readily help. The many skills they learnt in life were taught by the parents and grandparents. They showed by example how these things were done. The experience of the grandparents were vital to the upbringing of the children. The core values of life were being passed down to the next generation. How vital the words found in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. When we met, who we met, and what influenced us in our childhood will sustain us all through our life. Today, we're seeing folk living in a society of selfishness and self-seeking pleasure, wanting to do things their way, seeking pleasures without taking responsibility for their future. Mankind has lost the heart of humility, love and compassion, the vital ingredients to live a stable, endurable life, a life with meaning and fulfillment. But that is impossible to do on our own. We need to know our Heavenly Father intimately, who will lovingly guide us. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 20:35, "In everything I did, I showed you that by the kind of hard work we must help the weak." Remembering the words of Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When we give our time and our money in helping those in need, it helps those in need, but at the same time, we are so blessed and encouraged to see that person released from the bondage and slavery, the circumstances they were once in. We are reminded what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:28. "Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers." Mankind thinks they are improving things by changing them, but they're undoing the fundamental foundation rules of living. It does not matter how far we have gone or how extreme are the circumstances we find ourselves in. Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus reassuredly said at the start of his ministry what his mandate was and what he would perform when he quoted the words from Isaiah 61:1-4. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the place long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." Jesus spoke these reassuring words at the beginning of his ministry, and throughout his ministry, many folk were healed by him from a variety of diseases, as well as emotional conditions. Today, we are more and more seeing witchcraft taking place. Jesus was able to cast out demons that had taken hold in people's lives. Today, Jesus continues to do the work of healing and deliverance. By the Holy Spirit, God has gifted many Christians to come alongside. Jesus is the answer to all our troubles. The songwriters penned these words, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one." Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There is such a great need for Christian men and women gifted in ministry to needy Christians, having the ability, knowledge, discernment and wisdom to come alongside. To have a listening ear, to hear God's voice, giving them a clear understanding is the root of a person's situation. Then to lovingly and graciously, with prayer, guide and support them, to see them change and be liberated to live the life God intended them to live. God is still at work today, changing the lives of broken people and healing them both physically, emotionally and spiritually, as Jesus said in Luke 4:18-21, which he read from Isaiah, quoting from Isaiah 61:1-4. Many of these folk who have known the power of God releasing them from the bondage of sin are now actively helping others to find freedom and leading them to know the deep love of God and the security He alone can give. For those seeking help, a Christian organization called Teen Challenge has enabled many young folk to experience the freedom that Christ can give. The words of Jesus himself, found in Matthew 11:28-29, reads, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus also said in John 6:35-40, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gave me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Just before Moses died, these are the parting words bringing reassurance to Israel who are about to face an enemy in Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." By giving your life into the hands of Jesus, you will find perfect peace. You will find security, as the Apostle Peter assures us in 1 Peter 5-7. "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Each member of our family plays a role and an influence in each of our lives, as each one of us goes through the lifetime of learning. Within the family of God, taking the examples from our natural family experience, we can learn valuable lessons as to the way the family of God should function. In future devotions, I will seek to see how the various members of the church family play their part, how they grow and develop, and the important influence they have on each other. The next day devotion will centre on the children in the family. The most important thing living within a stable family, giving stability, bringing security, binding the family together, is a warm, heartfelt love. That is the vital foundation necessary in holding the family of God together. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This love is special. It is God's love, which is untarnishable and will sustain us throughout our life and for eternity. We will close by listening to the song written by Stuart Townsend, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. In anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Oh.